Okay, thank you, Reb Yaakov.
Is that the first time you've
been listening? No. What are you doing right there? Okay. Yeah. I jotted down a few notes. I don't forget to say a couple things. But the first thing is, excuse me, the first thing is my interaction with Rabbi Berkowitz with regard to today's program. Now, the program is extremely involved. From the moment we take off till the moment we go back, every minute is accounted for, with shiurim and learning and food and everything you could think of, engagement with the rabbonim. And I speak to Reb Yaakov one way or another, by phone call, in person, text, WhatsApp, every kind of way you can think of throughout the day. Not one time did he ever say, you know, this is a really big undertaking that we're doing here, that I'm doing. Not once. Just with love, just with happiness. The only thing he said was, Mayor, I don't care about your schedule. You must be here. Even though I have a case in Detroit tomorrow, I am here, thanks to you. Thank you, Reb Yaakov. Amazing, amazing. And thank you to everyone who's here. We know it's a busy time. It's always busy in the business world, professional world, taking off, certainly as we getting closer to Rosh Hashanah, family engagements, different things going on. The new school year, for a lot of you, it's involved to take off. You got to get up at, I don't know, 3:30 to catch a 5:30 flight and go back home and get home around 12 or so tonight. And it's exhausting, and everyone's here and smiling and happy and with love. That's because your heart is with the Torah. Like the Mashkiach said, you are with the Torah. We are, in our very nature, we are imperfect in our actions, but we're here trying to strive for shleimus, trying to strive for perfection. And I love all of you. You're all part of our Kollel family, and it's so great to see everyone here, and everyone who's here just for the benefit of the Mashkiach and Reb Baruch. This is not from one shul, this is a number of shuls in St. Louis, and the Kollel's whole mission in St. Louis is building Torah throughout the community. That's what we stand for, and that's what all of you being here represents. I want to just share a thought based on what we heard today, and something that I heard many times from my Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Ruderman Zatzal. And I think it all comes together with the message that I'd like to leave you with. Rav Shragi spoke today about each city has its own beauty. Each city has its own specialness. And yet we come and we see other cities and we maybe can take something from them, still retaining our own specialness. Mashkiach spoke about our own personal growth and how we can grow and how we change and how we know that Hashem is there for us. And once we make the commitment that we can do tshuva, we can grow, we can be different people, then it happens. You know, the Rosh Yeshiva, I remember different situations. Some were more positive and some were more traumatic, and I'm not going to go into each one of them, but Yeshiva was speaking a number of times, Rav Ruderman, and his essence on many occasions was a theme of Slabodka, of godless Adam. How a person is so great. And he approached tshuva and the days of Elul not in, there was the Mashkiach, Reb David, and that was a different approach. More that was more like the person needs to be very fearful of the Yom HaDin in many different ways. I'll just leave it at that. And the Rashiva approached it like a person is so chashuv. How could you do something against the Rabbeinu Shalom when you are such a chashuv a person? I was thinking about What Rabbi Shragi said about learning from other cities, and Rabbi Beryl about our personal growth, and Rosh Shiva about the godless Adam, and St. Louis. And I think that the message to me that I feel and I want to share with all of you is that we are doing great as a city, and I think it's one of the nicest cities in America because we have such a pureness of Torah and of a wholesomeness of family life that is really very unusual in any city you go to. You don't find that beautiful, natural, wonderful connection that people have with each other and with the Torah, and the thrust of the drive for Gashmias is very modest. Very modest in St. Louis. Even if a person has success, hopefully they use that to build Torah, and that's what it's all about. So I think we have a beautiful situation already. But I would like for all of you, on behalf of myself, and of course Rabbi Berkowitz and Rosh Karlo, as other Rosh Karlo, Rabbi Miller, to challenge us to be better and to do more for all of you and your families and for the community. Because while we are a great community, we can still learn from Baltimore and from other cities, and we can still grow so much more. And we need you to step up and challenge us, because sometimes we don't see everything. So if you help us, and you give us ideas, and you give us your passion, your commitment, and your money, and do so even more than you're doing now, because we need that. Rabbi Berkowitz, I know to Rabbarif this is not going to sound a lot, but a few years ago, the budget of the Karlo was about $750,000. And I thought that was a lot. And now it's $1,350,000 in just a few years difference. And that's because Rabbi Yaakov is pushing. We have 12, 13 full-time guys and 6 part-time people, and that's amazing for a city like St. Louis, and it's because of your effort and your support. So challenge us to do more. Realize the godless Adam, we are all great, and we just have to appreciate our greatness and challenge the Karl and challenge yourselves, and that will lead to a great Kesiv of Chasima Tova. I have no doubt about it.
Okay, so just some reflections. I'll look at my notes, take some bullets away from a quick sikum, quick wrap-up of things that stuck out to me. So we were zeichah this morning to hear from Reb Shragi, who reminded us that every kehillah has a reality. Every kehillah has a metzias, has a personality, has beauty that they have on their own. And we need to share that. And we need to make sure that we take in other kehillahs and other opportunities from other communities. And really, Ner Yisrael is a community. It's like a city. Even though there's Baltimore City, we saw Suburban Orthodox, which is just one of the many, many, many beautiful, incredible shuls. And we're zeichet to hear from Rabbi Silber and Rabbi Gross. But we have to learn from what we see, and I think we should recognize that a lot of what we have in St. Louis is there not only because of Torah that was learned here, but because of the B'nai Torah that are here now. This is really the generators, like the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which generated Ruchnias to the entire world, gave over Kedusha to the whole world. It's the yeshivas. This is the Mekomes HaTorah, the places where people are just sitting and plugging away and learning, that continues to generate Torah to our community, to our schools, to our kollelim, and our shuls. And I think that was a very important message that Reb Shragi wanted to impart on us, while at the same time letting us know that there's a beauty that we have in St. Louis, and it's not meant to be changed. It could develop every 20 years, and there's new diarists, new generations, but there's something beautiful too. Sometimes you'll hear people say, oh, we don't have this, we don't have that, and it's true, but do you want St. Louis to be Lakewood? I love Lakewood, I love visiting Lakewood, but I love living in St. Louis. So there's a beauty. No, there's a beauty about retaining and really understanding the chashivas that we have, but at the same time looking around and looking at all these people who we interacted with and we heard from, be like, wow, like this is something bigger and beautiful that I'm also part of, that perhaps I didn't notice that before. A lot of what we're learning in St. Louis are coming from the people that we listened to this morning. Then we were zeichet to hear from Rabbi Friend, who pointed out that even a tzaddik in a dangerous environment is allowed to marry a yafastayer, because when a person is put into a setting that they were not expecting, so to quote Viktor Frankl, I think, he says there's no normal response to an abnormal situation. And the world throws us abnormal situations, and we have to be grounded in the normal response so that when these things do come up, and we're thrown out into the world, no matter how prepared we are, we're not prepared to mess with the Yitzhahara. And therefore, we need to do what we can to minimize. Very important foundational idea that Rabbi Friend was imparting on all of us who aren't Zeicha to be in a world of yeshiva day in and day out. Then Rav Beryl spoke, and my takeaway from Rav Beryl is that it's important to believe in tshuva. It's that we have more greatness than we know. I've shared in shul recently, I heard from Rabbi Yoni Fisher, who is Rashiva Fisher's yeshiva. He says, maybe I should call him an old chaver taiv, even though he's much older than me, but something I've shared in shul, and that is he presented something to his talmidim. I was listening to the shir that he gave. He's saying, he doesn't have a proof to this, but what if when we come up to Shemayim, Gehenim is us being shown how great we really are. I come up to Shemayim after 120, and the Ribbono Shel Olam sitting there, and the Bezon Shel Ma'ala is sitting there, and Malachim are sitting there, and everybody who I respect and my loved ones are there, and they're all like, do you know what you're made of? And I look at my life and I'm like, seriously? Like, all the stunting that I've done and my excuses was just me. That was me. I can't blame it on anybody else. I really had those yichailas. I really had those abilities, and I'm the only one that didn't know it. But I'm the only one who didn't believe in me. But you know how painful that is. You come up to Shemayim. He's like, maybe that's Gehenna, where you're so big. There's so much kaiches, and there's so much beauty in each of us. When you come to Shemayim, must be like, yeah, no, you had it. Yeah, you had everything. I'm like, oh, dude, seriously? Like, I can't blame anybody but me. I'm the only one who minimized myself. So we have to believe in the greatness that we have and believe in the power of tshuva. And it's well known that we say Slach Lanu after Yom Kippur, even though we're cleansed of all of our averus. I forgot which Rebbe this is, B'Shem. Why do we say Slach Lanu? It says Yom Kippur. The day is Mechaper. Even if you don't do tshuva, the day is Mechaper. The reason why we say Slach Lanu is because we don't believe it. So we already sinned on Mar of Yom Kippur because we don't really believe that Yom Kippur worked. So there's already a problem. Things do work, and we need to believe in tshuva and recognize. He quoted the Mabit, who says that tshuva is all about recognizing that we're in the constant presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and in the constant presence of greatness. You're not even thinking about sin. You're like, I'm with the Ribbono Shel Olam at all times. Then we heard from Mayor Klein, who encouraged all of us to really step up and get involved, not only in our own life, but in our communities and in the world of Torah. Then we were zeichet to hear from the Rosh Yeshiva, who spoke primarily a few important questions and answers, but something that struck me, and it's the most basic things are the ones that are the truest. And I think I started to forget the beauty of Klal Yisrael and the beauty of being a Yid. And I was talking to somebody at the time, a seatmate next to me, who pointed out that when the Rashiva said there's a difference between a Jew and a non-Jew, some of us got uncomfortable. We're not used to that. We're not used to really understanding the power of the neshama of a Yid. And there is a difference between the neshama of a Yid and the neshama of somebody who's not Jewish. And we have to understand the beauty that we have inside of us. There are differences there, and this is an important idea. He was saying in Chinuch, to give over to our children, I, I, I was thinking, forget my children, what about me? Do I forget that? And do I focus sometimes too much on just the basics by losing track of perhaps the bigger picture that we are the Am Segula? We're the Am Segula, and we're not to be messed with, so to speak, not to be tough on anybody else, but this is a responsibility, but it's a beauty. So moving on to Rabbi Hapfer, you know, when you see these guys, you got these long tzitzis that are flying, right? He was talking about tcheles and being the royal servants, right? Sometimes it's like a style now in yeshivas. Sometimes you see these tzitzis all the way down to the floor. You ever see that? It's like out, you know, like, my goodness gracious, like what's going on over there? To an extent, though, it's a style that you know, happens in some circles of yeshivas with the untucked shirt and the very long tzitzis, and it's kind of a fashion thing. But I think, you know, I was thinking about, that's really kind of cool. When the guys are walking around, they've got, you know, what are they saying with their swag and the way that they're walking around? They're saying, I'm a royal servant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rabbi Hapfer also pointed out that chesed, that Ribbono Shel Olam says, Zacharti l'chesed nurayich, our mission is to show the world what a Yid looks like. That, why are we dressing in the fashions and the styles and with why are we allowing ourselves to be fed the culture of the world, when really we have to establish that culture for ourselves? We should be the one. What does a Yid look like? What is it? And then if this is what a Yid looks like, so I'm proudly presenting myself as a Yid to Klal Yisrael. And this is a chesed to Hashem, he pointed out, because this Hashem doesn't control. Hashem controls everything. He said the interesting thing. Rabbi Hapfer said that Ribbono Shel Olam could do anything except for this. I heard Thursday, I gave a lunch and learn, a women's lunch and learn, and Sherry Bloch was there. Mrs. Bloch, who, Nebuch, has had a rough year. Since last year, Rosh Hashanah, losing her husband and her son, she told me an incredible thing. What a powerful woman. She tells me that Ribbono Shel Olam could do anything except for one thing. He can't make a mistake. Those were her words. Ribbono Shel Olam could do anything, but he can't make a mistake. Rabbi Hapfer said that Ribbono Shel Olam could do anything, but he can't make us be his Eved. Right? That's another thing. So now I know two things, but I'm not, each one's powerful. Each one's a powerful idea. We could do chesed. Ribbono Shel Olam needs us as an Am. He needs us as a people. And Ribbono Shel Olam says, Zacharti l'chesed ni'urayich. Please use your Bechira wisely and present yourself as the Am Segula. And instead of being influenced by the rest of the world, we should be influencers to the rest of the world. He told over the, to me, it was a powerful thing. He told over the story of the two sisters with the parents that didn't know how to, we'll call it, be what parents are meant to be. And I think that's an important yesod for, he was bringing out for a number of relationships, to give ourselves that space not to be hurt by the lack of ability by other people who sometimes we expect more from. And he also pointed out that the Torah way is to always show kavod wisely. You don't show kavod to foolishness, but you could show kavod to a fool. You could show kavod even to a shaita. Sometimes, even if a person's a fool, okay, he told us the mice with the chazanish, crazy person on the table, but part of being a mensch, part of being a human being, is using our kavod, using the kavod wisely. Then we were zeichet to hear from Rabbi Sober, absolutely amazing as always. I listened to his part of, if anybody's been in my car, his daf yomi is always on in my car. It's one of the ways that I prepare for my daf every day, is besides for looking it over on my own a couple times, but I'm always listening to Rabbi Sober's daf, an incredible daf. He spoke about how Ani l'daydi v'daydi li, Ani l'daydi is I am too, the Ribbono Shel Olam, I have to self-inspire. I have to be an inspired person. It's very important to live inspired and to be inspired, allowing ourselves to be inspired without waiting for inspiration to be fed to us. That's Ani L'daydi, and this is what Elul is about. Make sure to inspire myself. And V'daydi Li is by the Yom Nairam, then the Ribbono Shel Olam starts to reciprocate from Rosh Hashanah through Simchas Torah. And he continued on with this very powerful idea. Not to get into the details, but again, this is just reflections and the beautiful idea from Avram Avinu that he wanted to just do a little bit because of the change. Ribbono Shel Olam told him to move back, but the main yesod is that that Elul is a time to pick up pieces that we've lost along the way. I think many of us, that resonates with a lot of, certainly resonates with me, Gesundheit. You go back to thoughts and ideals that perhaps we've given up on, and we can rethink them more wisely. Some of them, I would say, don't go back to, because it just, you know, if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But it is worthwhile to take the time to reflect the what pieces did I drop along the way that maybe I'm a little more mature now. I can go back and pick those up and live life in a healthier way. Then we had the beautiful Pilpul Shir from Rabbi Gross, who described, ultimately brought out through Lamdas, that there's two types of simcha. There's a simcha that comes about through Basar V'yayin. There's a simcha that comes about through the security of knowing that it's Avinu Shabashamayim that's judging us. And simcha and pachad go hand in hand. There's no such thing as pachad without simcha, and you really can't be completely besimcha without having pachad and understanding the power that the Rabbanu Shalom had. There is a fascinating underlying theme going back to how Reb Shragi started us out, and Rabbi Friend and the Reshiva and so on and so forth, and that is reminding ourselves of the beauty that each of us have. Really, there's a beautiful relationship available to us constantly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we have to realize that Am Yisrael is something special, and we have to be proud to be part of it, and do what we can to not only help others, but to ensure that we ourselves are taking advantage of the opportunities that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is offering us at all times, and specifically during Chodesh El.
Okay. So now we had the reflections, and now I have to v'midu alachas. I'll try my best to sum up the summation. So first of all, a big yashikayach to Rabbi Berkowitz for really putting this all together. And yashikayach for everybody that joined, and those who almost joined and thought about coming. It was also a chizik to help one another be mischazik. We heard from Rabbi Silber before, the first part of Ani L'Daidi is we have to do something that's going to show I'm not just sitting back and waiting for the inspiration to come. We all got up. Whatever time we got up and got here, we got off our couch, got out of our bed, got off our pillow, and we made it here. So that was an amazing part that we hopefully will continue throughout this season, through Yom Narayim, to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu we are interested, we're mevakesh, we are focused on Ani L'Daidi. But I wanted to speak about one nekuda, not so much a reflection, but maybe a safety net. Because we're going to be coming off this high, we're going to get back late at night, tomorrow is going to be back to same old, whatever that is. But how are we going to hopefully be careful to keep what we got, what we gained from the day, all the different chizik, the different vertloch we heard, the different shiurim we heard. So I wanted to share a perspective from, we'll call it the dark side. We know Elul is Ani L'Daidi V'Daidi Li. But what is the Satan thinking? What does Elul stand for? The Satan is obviously not coming with Ani L'Daidi V'Daidi Li, he's trying to stop us. So what does Elul mean from his perspective? So there is a Gemara in Gittin. We'll try our best to recap, just to do it in a quick way. The Gemara in Gittin Nun Beis, in discussing the halachas of apitropis. An apitropis is someone who's appointed by a bezdin, guardian, a custodian over the estate of Yisayimim. And there are certain halachas that the apitropis must follow in order to protect the assets of the Yisayimim's property. And the Gemara discusses specific halachas of what he could and can't do. And one of the things the Gemara says, we'll just take it for granted for now, is that he cannot buy with the Yisayim's money, he cannot buy Avadim. That would not be a good investment. Real estate is a good investment in a certain way, but Avadim is not a good investment. The Gemara that goes to recount the story, the Gemara says there was a certain apitropis in the neighborhood of Rameir that went ahead, this apitropis, and he was an apitropis for Yisayim, and he went ahead, he sold karka, and he bought Avadim. Rameir heard about it, and he got very upset, and he took care of it and reversed the transactions and went ahead and protected the Yisayim. That night, Rameir has a dream. It says, Achvalei Bechelmei, some type of, we'll say Basco, but not really, some type of heavenly image came to him in a dream and said, Ani Laharois Va'ata Livnois, what are you doing, Rameir? I am on a path, I'm on a mission to destroy these Yisayim and to destroy this whole estate, and you're coming to build? What do you think you're doing? Like trying to bully him out of getting involved in this apitropis is, you know, inappropriate business dealings. Or Meir wakes up, probably a little bit shaken from the dream, tells over to the people, his talmidim, what happened. He says, but Eina Chanami, I'm not listening to the dream. That's the first story in the Gemara. The Gemara goes on then on to another story and says there were these two families in the neighborhood of Rameir that every afternoon, every Friday afternoon, right before Shabbos, they would get into a little skirmish, they would fight, and go into Shabbos with a little machloikis. Rameir wanted to help, and he sat there for 3 weeks in a row. He sat between these two families to make sure there wouldn't be any machloikis. I see the God Al-Dar Rameir sitting there, and therefore he restored shalom to the two families. Rameir at that point hears some type of heavenly voice comes out and says, Vai li, woe is unto me that Rameir threw me out of the house. Meaning like the Satan was bemoaning the fact that now he lost his prey, he lost his opportunity to make a machlekes in Klal Yisrael. Rameir, of course, didn't care about it and did what he had to do and restored shalom. So the question is, the first story of the Gemara is coming off a halachic discussion of apitropis, so it makes sense that we had a story about apitropis and how Rameir got rid of an inappropriate apitropis. But the second story, the only common denominator seemingly is Rameir. So why is the Gemara bringing the second story? You could answer simply, because once we have one story about Rameir, we'll have another story about Rameir. But the Chassam Sofer and his Chidushim has an insight in how the Satan works that I think sheds a little light on El as well. He says, in both these stories, Rameir was being bullied by the Satan, by the Yetzirah, in two opposite ways, but really the same coin, meaning two sides of the same coin. The first way, the Yetzirah appears as a bully and tries to tell Rameir, what are you doing? I'm the boss of this playground. This is my playing field. I'm messing up this Yisayim. I'm going to make this apitropis do the wrong thing. I have a whole plan how I'm going to, you know, wreak havoc and destruction in this estate. Who do you think you are to come and try to build? Ani laharois. I'm trying to build Va'at to live nice, and you're coming to build? I'm on the way to destroy. Says Chassam Sofer, Ani laharois Va'at to live nice, Rosh HaTevis El. That's the Satan's ploy during Elul to come and try to bully us out of doing the right things and say, what do you think you're doing? You can't be a good yid. You can't do what you need to do. I'm on the path to destroy. Don't come now and be a goody-goody and get stuck in my web and push me out of what I need to do. I have a plan here. You're messing me up. That's one mahalach of the Yetzirah. The second mahalach is in the next story of Rameir. Rameir does good. He establishes shalom. All of a sudden, he hears this heavenly voice, the Satan bemoaning, oh, woe is unto me, Nebuch, look what happened to me. I'm a little Nebuchal. I was just trying to make a little business here and do what I was supposed to do, be the bad guy. And now Rameir doesn't let me do my job. Nebuch, now I'm not going to be out of a job. It's like a passive-aggressive Yetzirah saying, you know, just let me do what I have to do. It's not so bad. They'll fight a little bit. No one's killing each other. And they're just getting a little skirmish. Rameir says, no, I have to be Marbar Shalom Ba'olam. That's the job of Talmidei Chachamim. And I can't listen to Yetzirah. Says the Chassam Sofer, this is the Elul theme, so to speak, of the Yetzirah to come to us from different angles. But this idea of Ani laharois v'ata livnois, we have to hear that message in the opposite way and tell the Yetzirah back, no, Ani livnois v'ata laharois. What do you think you're doing? I'm on a path here to build, and I'm taking the chizik I got from this trip, the chizik we heard from the Shurim today, like our Tamar so eloquently summed it all up. So many different aspects of Aliyah, of Shurim, of Chizuk, and specifically in regards to Tshuva and Elul, and how we're going to spend our Rosh Hashanah with Simcha, with Pachad. We should have the strength to continue taking that and not lose the inspiration, and we should all be zeichet to Chesiv v'Chesimah Tovah.